At Kenton Park on North Brandon and North Kilpatrick Streets in Portland.
The Earth Day 2014 theme, Reverse Migration, will focus on local culture and businesses. Over 100 sustainable businesses and organizations, including KBOO Community Radio, will participate in this event.
This celebration will also feature lots of live music and entertainment. Celebrate our planet at the 2014 Earth Day celebration, Saturday, April 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Kenton Park. More information on this event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look. I'm your host, Linda Olson Osterlund. As some of you may have noticed, I've been off the air for the last couple of months. I was handling a medical issue, and I'm so glad to be back at KBOO. I want to thank especially Kathleen Stevenson, our AM news director, for filling in for me on more than one occasion, and Teresa Mitchell, who you just heard on Press Watch, for extending her show to fill my absence on more than one occasion. Thank them both. You know it. Here at KBOO, they have your back. They have KBOO's back, but they also have your back when you're a volunteer here. And I really appreciate that. It's all part of what makes it great to be around KBOO. So today's topic is the After Party, a brand new organization being launched by some of the same people who brought you Occupy Wall Street at Zuccotti Park in New York City. My guests today are Justin Wiedes and Micah White. Justin is an activist, an educator, and a founding member of the New York City General Assembly, the organization that facilitated Occupy Wall Street. Before Occupy, Justin was a graduate of the University of Michigan with degrees in physics and linguistics, and as an educator, he's worked with low-income children, teaching a variety of subjects, and going on to found the Paul Robeson Freedom School. Micah White is a former editor of Adbusters and a current contributor to The Guardian. He's the creator of the meme, or the concept of Occupy Wall Street, often credited with bringing it to New York City, and is the current chairman of OccupyWallStreet.org. He's also the founder of the Boutique Activist Consultancy. Welcome to KBOO, Justin and Micah.
Thank you so much.
Now, I have to tell you, these are two very Oregon-looking guys. One has a flannel shirt on, and the other has an old sports shirt that's kind of a little raggedy. And they both now live in Nehalem. So I think of you guys as New York City and the Occupy encampment. How did you come to Nehalem?
Well, I was lured here by Micah. the Oregon coast is absolutely beautiful, and it's a huge shift for me from the concrete jungle, but I think it's a beautiful place to think, to create, to strategize, and to begin to build the next phase of this popular movement here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think this is Micah talking. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think that the future of politics really is happening in these rural areas. I think that one of the great things is that after Occupy Wall Street, I call Occupy Wall Street a constructive failure, in the sense that we failed to achieve our objectives, but we learned a lot in the process. And after that, I think the entire movement had kind of a rethinking period. And my wife and I moved to the place that we thought was the most beautiful, right, which is this Oregon coast. And in discovering that and moving there, I think I've discovered actually that rural politics kind of holds a solution to some of the political problems that we have in America. Thinking from a rural perspective instead of an urban perspective helps us unlock certain political problems. So it's been very rewarding.
Well, I know a lot of people have been wondering, where has Occupy gone? And I think in some ways to the public, it can appear that it disappeared. But I see it go on here in a bunch of local organizations where people who came forward through Occupy, some of them are reporters here at KBOO and really great reporters, and really moved forward into doing that kind of activism. But others are working in the foreclosure movement. There's Rising Tide. So I've always felt like, well, Occupy was the first wave. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know, and I've been waiting for what will be the next wave, because it doesn't seem tolerable to live under the kind of governmental structures and the damage they're doing to human beings and to our planet as a whole is really feasible much longer mm-hmm. On this planet. And so I was happy to hear about you guys being there and planning what you feel like is a next step. Justin, do you want to talk about how this concept of the after party came about and lay it out a little bit for people?
Absolutely. This is Justin here. The after party as a concept emerged in late 2013 when I brought together some national Occupy organizers from across the country who had been deeply involved in the movement in many different cities. And we began to strategize around what it would take to build a platform out of Occupy that was specific and concrete enough that it could lead to policies, to actual changes that could be made in the short term and in the long term, but it was also expansive enough that it could be filled. It could be like a document that has space in it for many different people in this movement, which is so intersectional. And so we began to strategize and talk about what it would look like to build this platform. And we quickly realized that there are so many people with it, who were activated by the Occupy movement, who are looking for ways to build local power, to have agency over their lives. And it doesn't necessarily just mean electoral power. The power of the people is in many different forms. And so what we are looking to do is to inspire and to empower people in their local communities to take action immediately that they can harness to be able to organize themselves and build power at the local level and then build up into a movement that can actually win elections and change outcomes and not just change who's at the table in terms of the power structure, but fundamentally change the dynamics of power in this country. Put power back in the hands of working people, back in the hands of regular folks, everyday people. Give them control over the decisions that affect their lives and wrestle back democracy from these corporate and financial elite that have hijacked it in this country.
You know, I hear what you're saying. I know that my own brain goes a little wacky when I hear, you know, run for office. One of the things that I have a lot of trouble with is how much of the focus of political attention and political discourse becomes about the next election, whatever it is that year, 2016, the off year, 24, whatever they are. And because I felt that the basic larger system is so moribund. Now, I've always believed that individuals can make a difference in smaller communities. You know, even in a city as big as Portland, who you get in the mayoral office can really matter. Who you get on city council can really matter. So it's not like I've thrown out the whole idea of elections, but it seems to me that it's all within the current system. And one of the things old parties did was say, we're going to throw out that old system.
Right.
So how do you address that issue? Like some of us will be listening from, I don't want to get involved in getting someone to win an election.
Right. Okay. This is Micah. And I want to basically what I think is crucial here is to understand that we are now living in the era of social movements. So one of the things that happens is that each generation has their theory of social change, their theory of how political change happens. Right. And so right now, a lot of people are living under the impression that one theory of social change that we had during Occupy was that if we could get a mass movement into the streets with a unified demand that the people who were in power would listen to us, we thought that we could go from general assemblies directly into some form of sovereignty. And that we found out to not be true. What we're seeing instead from the experience of European activists, and you have to remember that Occupy Wall Street, we really imported from Europe, from the experience of Spain and Egypt. What we're seeing in Spain and Italy now is the development of what I would call hybrid social electoral movements. So it's not about a party. What it is about, it is about capturing sovereignty. And so there's certain political positions that if the people were to control them, we could enact immediate change. One of the things that held Occupy back and limited us was simply the fact that we didn't have political sovereignty. We weren't the ones who were in charge of the police, for example, right? And that's the position that's an elected representative position. So the trick here is to start thinking like social movements, to imagine that 30 days before the election, a huge street protests happen, and that this time around, they're not protesting against, they're protesting for. They're protesting for average citizens from their community, people that you've grown up in your neighborhood, to win elections, to win a write-in candidacy, and to be part of the after party. So I think that the key here is that it's a game that we have to win sovereignty. And there's very limited ways to do that in this political game in America. So
it sounds like you're not talking about necessarily going the route of earlier third parties, what would be called third parties, say the Green Party or something, trying to get on the ballot, trying to get into the debates with the Democrats and Republicans, trying to go through that whole channel and having very little luck, though there has been some. There, you know, is a woman who's known as a socialist in Seattle who's been recently elected to citywide, you know, government. So those things happen, but it sounds like you're talking about doing this in a different way than doing those kinds of activities.
That's right. And that's why Justin, I mean, one of the key components of the after party, and Justin can talk about this, is that our launch is a mutual aid flash mob. You know, the after party launch is we're going to go to Detroit, we're going to bring activists there, and we're going to improve the communities concretely. So I think that what we're doing is building, I mean, Justin, you should speak about this, what the vision is for this flash mob.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the history of political parties, you know, it's important to recognize that political parties were not an original feature of American democracy. There's nothing in the Constitution that mandates political parties necessarily. But what happened with the evolution of parties when they were at their best, for example, the Democratic Party in the early 20th century with the rise of the labor movement and empowering regular people, they helped people. They helped people get jobs. They were a humanitarian organization 364 days of the year and an electoral political party one day of the year. That has been lost entirely today. Both of the corporate parties, be it Democrats or Republicans today in this country, they don't. All they do is ask for money and then put people in office at the will of their donors. And if you're not a big money donor, if you don't have huge pockets, you really are left out of the equation. And there's nothing that they do to help. And so we believe that one of the positive elements of political party building is not just to organize electoral action, but to actually organize community action at the level of mutual aid, of community service, of charity, whatever you want to call it, helping people, people helping people, and addressing people's needs immediately and bypassing the existing structures, and in doing so, building the kind of leadership that we need to bring up new candidates. And I'll say one more thing on this issue of traditional and third parties. You know, if you walk into a supermarket today, you can find 11 different types of toothpaste. But when you get into the voting booth, it's always the worst of two, the better of two evils, you know, the lesser of two evils of a choice to make. You know, why is it that you can have 11 different choices for toothpaste and you only get to have essentially two, maybe a few extra, if you're lucky, third-party candidates in your choice of political representative? This isn't the kind of pluralistic, diverse marketplace for creation of new ideas, of new structures, of new kinds of self-governance. All of the beautiful ideas that emerged out of Occupy, the infinite expanse of creativity, are not represented in our political system. And so this is saying we can engage on our own terms, we can hack the political system to make it work for us, and we don't have to compromise our beliefs and our principles to do so, because we're going to enter on our own terms.
So part of what I hear is that, for example, this flash mob that you're planning for May 2nd in Detroit, Michigan, is that you're not, and later in electoral, you're not saying, I'm going to go through this step first. We're going to have our caucus, and then we're going to have our elect our representatives who get to elect our representative, or who get to help select mm-hmm. it and go to the next level of council or whatever. That you're going to bypass all of that and do things really quickly and on a short-term basis, because a flash mob implies that people. I mean, of course, there's been planning behind it, but the actual call to action and where the feet on the ground come from is called out in a very short term time. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yeah, this is Justin speaking. This is an opportunity, like I said, to spark imagination. What if the sheriff in your city refused to prosecute drug offenders? What if they
foreclosures?
Or bank foreclosures.
Or what people have been forcing the sheriff to do in this area, and have been working very hard on it, is to not turn over everyone they automatically pick up to ICE.
Right.
That's a big
right.
issue for immigrants.
Yeah. That's right.
Local law enforcement. And they've had some, back and forth success with that with the sheriff's office here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So imagining what it would look like if the people that hold positions of power in our communities followed our desires, followed our agendas, followed our interests and our priorities, and then imagining what it would look like to make that change.
So let me ask this again. So if you wanted, say if you're at the electoral stage, you've built some basis, you've worked with organizations, you've had some work and basis within it, and you're at the electoral stage of wanting to run someone, the way that you're going to, for example, deal with a particular election would be like the day of or the little bit of time leading up to it is you'd call for flash mobs to come and vote a write-in, as opposed to someone, this lengthy process of getting a candidate.
I think
there.
That this is Micah speaking. I mean, I think that there's going to be a lot of different ways to trying it. I think one way to start immediately is that, like the Five-Star Movement does in Italy, which is that citizens will be able to basically nominate themselves in their local communities and identify a position that they want to run for. And this is going to start as early as mid-May or whatever. And they can figure out, there'll be a way to basically self-identify, like, I want to be part of this after party, I want to organize events in my town, and I want to be part of this, becoming governor or whatever. And then, but I think that the key that we're trying to get across here is that, we're going to make this election unpredictable. I promise you that this election, 2014, is going to be an unpredictable election.
So we're talking about November this year.
Yes. This year is going to be a very unpredictable and hot year for protests, and everyone should get involved. And the way to do that is to do things like, first, number one, wear orange to show your solidarity with the after party. Start a local after party chapter. We call them, Portland After Party. We need you. Basically, it's time to if you loved Occupy, then get involved with the after party. Figure out how to make it work, how to make elections work, and how to, in the meantime, improve your community. Wear orange, find each other. This is crucial. But the main thing is just to remember that 2014 is not going to go the way of Democrats or Republicans.
Well, I find this exciting in some ways. For years, I thought during the presidential elections that on the day of the election, I'd like to, I was going to dress all in black, but turn my back to the there's a place on 10th and Morrison, the Multnomah County voting, where people still bring in their ballots. Mm-hmm. You can mail them in. But, some visual way where I could say no to voting for your new emperor, because I feel like that's one of the hardest things about paying attention to the electoral process is this run-up for a year of who's going to be your emperor and is he going to be the good guy or will she be the good gal? Mm-hmm. All about identity politics, and really from my point of view, and I think I could really lay this out pretty easily, there's the continuation of the increase of imperialism, mm-hmm. and the decrease of caring about regular people, the 99%, no matter who we get in place in the current way that things are organized. And I actually believe that capitalism, that economic system, actually leads to these kinds of problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's talk about what you guys say this new party is about. I mean, you have a manifesto, so I should reintroduce myself. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlin. You, the listener, are listening to KBOO 90.7 here in Portland, Oregon. And I'm talking with Justin Wiedes and Micah White, founders of the original Occupy in New York City, and now participating with and for Justin helping found the after party, the next what they hope will be the spark for a large populist movement here in the United States. So let's talk a little bit. Let's tell people what you say you stand for. I noticed that in, it wasn't the manifesto, but one of them it says Rise Up is the acronyms. This is the platform.
Yes.
Has the acronyms Rise Up. But the manifesto is quite moving, and I think it's worth just me reading a couple things. It says that, it starts with, we are human beings. We live on a planet with other living beings. We have infinite worth and infinite ways of expressing our worth. We're told lies and we're told more lies. We are not for sale. We are not machines for making money, and we are not consumers. And it goes on to say, we are creators, we are human beings with dignity, we've had enough, and we are taking over. Quite bold words. And Micah is now promising us that we will see a lot of activists out on the streets. Well, a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Out on the street. It also goes on to say, we're not represented. And it talks about the ways that we're not represented and how that's usurped. And we certainly saw it with the latest Supreme Court decision that says anybody can give any amount of money they want to get someone someone elected, which means our media will be flooded with, you know, people. And you know, we can get as mad as we want about it, but the truth is human beings take in visual and auditory messages, and they do impact them. Advertising works. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending the millions and millions of dollars on it that they do. It is a form of propaganda. So you go on to lay out in your platform some basic tenets. You know, as a critical reader, and I've been a member of more than one kind of party in the past, I was looking for a sort of detailed, you know, hierarchy, or this is what it means to be a member, and this is what you have to pledge to, and all of that. And it's sort of like that, but really not at all. Can you talk about the platform and the development of that?
Absolutely. So, Linda, you're absolutely right. The platform is like, this is Justin again speaking for your listeners out there. The platform is like a scaffold. It's like a structure that has space in it to develop. But it's built upon six basic principles. And the principles are the acronym RISE UP. R stands for respect for human needs. That comes first. Our party has to be built around, and this movement has to be built around, respecting and caring for the needs of people. Housing, food, education, healthcare, the basic things that people need and that are not being provided for them safely and securely by the existing system, especially under capitalism and the political arcade that is our system today. The I stands for immigrants and indigenous rights. And so here we're talking about not just immigration reform in the narrow sense, but acknowledging the rights of people to land, to living in peace and security, to having the rights of citizens for all people in this country. S stands for sustainable energy and development, and this is the climate justice element of our platform, but it's also the social justice element, because when you talk about sustainable development, you're not just talking about building green and renewable, but you're talking about sustainable in a social sense of are we building our cities responsibly and not just over gentrifying and pushing out people who can't afford to live in neighborhoods because they're changing. So that's sustainable development to me. The E stands for education for all. We're talking about kindergarten through higher education as well. We want free and high quality education for all people, and we're going to start building it. So if that means building our own independent schools in the interim, like the Freedom Schools movement of the civil rights era, we'll do that as well. These are things that we can start building today. We don't have to wait until we're in power, but we're going to work to get into power so we can make it happen. The U stands for...
I want to take a second and say I think that's a pretty important concept, because it bypasses some of the lengthy and difficult things of the past that said, well, we can't establish governing bodies and we can't establish, you know, control over things like school because until we can win enough, you know, and go through the traditional way of through a Democratic Party or Republican winning office and you know, endless, it can go on endlessly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, no, we'll just, you know, if we can't get the schools here to change, well, we'll work on that, but we'll start building schools that are good.
That's right. And we have a track record of doing it as well. Myself and my co-collaborator in New York City, Rodney Dees, we built our own independent school called the Paul Robeson Freedom School, which came out of the struggle of our community that faced a showdown basically because the city was shutting down one of our schools, one of our local community schools. And we weren't able to save the school, but we decided that we were going to build our own to replace it. And so we have experience in this realm, and we can do this. We can rally our communities to build independent political power, educate ourselves, and strive towards building a more just system. And we can start doing it right now.
Okay, I want to interject something really quick. This is Micah. I want to interject something, which is first, A, everyone should start wearing orange. But B, the second thing is to look around and realize that what's going on is that the power structures are fraying and that they're losing control. So in rural areas, for example, the federal government's not really interested in the rural areas of America. So you think about it, they actually don't care too much, and they're letting forms of sovereignty just basically fall apart. And so there's a lot of opportunities right now for people who do care about providing services to the people to start just going ahead and providing those services. And then on the back of that saying, yes, we are a social and political movement and that we're going to provide these services because one day we're going to be in power. The thing is that I think, you know, Occupy Sandy, which was Occupy Wall Street's humanitarian efforts following the hurricane, showed that Occupy and horizontalism is capable of governing cities.
So this
is the key thing. We are going to govern cities.
I hear you on that. Let's let Justin get through the U and the P, and then we will go ahead and talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and Micah is absolutely right. I should say that there is a fraying, there's a fragmentation right now, and there's an inability of the federal government because of the stalemating and also because of the horrendous decision, for example, of the Supreme Court in Citizens United that has totally shattered the people's confidence in a responsible representative government. There's an opening here for people to really take the lead. I want to finish up the platform, and the U in Rise Up stands for Universal Access to Healthcare. We're talking about moving beyond the notion of Obamacare to a single-payer system, a universal healthcare system. And in the interim, we've got to make sure that people have access to healthcare. If that means setting up our own medical clinics, if that means getting volunteer doctors to help care for people in need, you know, these are things that we can start to do today. So universal access to healthcare is essential. And then finally, the P, which I believe is one of the most important, which says that politicians are public employees. They are our own civil servants. One of the problems with our political system today, amongst many, is that politics has become a sort of professionalized career, when what it really should be is a civil service job. It should be a civil service job that people take seriously as a public service, and it should not be a career. You know, people need to recognize that if their politicians are not paid by them and not responsive to them, then it doesn't matter what policies they're putting forth. At the end of the day, they're going to listen to their donors over their constituents.
Well, and so we need to change that. We've certainly seen that in the last many years, especially on the national level.
Okay. Absolutely. Let me just finally add that while we're working to, for example, some folks are working to amend the Constitution, to overturn Citizens United, to get money out of politics. While we're working on these efforts, we need to make sure that the people that are being put into office are not funded by corporations and big banks, but they're funded by the people. They're refusing to accept campaign contributions from corporations. And that will be a pledge that all of our candidates will take.
And I would hope that they would make a pledge to not accept more than a certain amount from any single individual as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I for years have on the presidential election written in my good friend Gloria Harris, who ran for city council many years ago, and she made a stand of no donation over $1,000 from any individual. And she ended up getting 20% of the vote, and for completely unknown, that was quite phenomenal. So, you know, I know that there are opportunities for that. When you talk about access to health care, you know, I was just thinking recently, people who are on Social Security or Medicaid or who aren't even able to get on to those kinds of things or haven't been able to get on to those kinds of things really face so many hurdles. There's so many things, you know, even with those services, they don't provide dental care. Very serious issue where people can get very ill, and if you're diabetic. So these are all really important things to do, but I'm looking at my time and realizing I only have two more minutes. Mm-hmm. And tell people, so I think I want to end on, tell people what you want them to know about going to Detroit and what this first mission and launch of the After Party really is.
First off, you got to go to afterpartyusa.org so you can remember that. You're going to look out for Safety Orange and Blaze Orange, which is our color. And After Party USA is the main thing. And you got to get yourself to Detroit. This is Micah telling you, you got to go to Detroit May 2nd before 3 p.m. From Portland, take the train, bus, whatever. Go to After Party USA to register.
And you'll be working with organizations that are based in Detroit.
That's right. On the ground, people.
You're taking their lead.
That's right. We're following. Justin was just in Chiapas, and he was with the Zapatistas, and we're going to follow the model of basically bringing in outsiders but integrating them into the community to do community service and launch this party.
Yeah.
And I want to say just people really do go to afterpartyusa.org, learn more about this, you know, this whole thing of horizontalism instead of hierarchy. You're saying the party can and will work on that basis, that it will have no charismatic leaders, and yet there will be people elected. So there's a lot to talk about in what this means, and I want to thank you both, Justin Wiedes and Micah White, for joining me to talk about the after party. And I want to thank my engineer, Rock, for letting that music come up and telling us that we are out of time. Thank you all for listening to KBOO today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you are listening to the Mighty Boo KBOO Portland. Just a minute before 10 o'clock, in 15 minutes on today's Flashpoints, indigenous tribes living under occupation at the U.S.-Mexico border. Also, a look at U.S. counterinsurgency in southern Ukraine. Are Russian troops really massing for an invasion? At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman interviews writer Lori Moore, who has earned a place among the best and most beloved of American writers. And at 11:30 on The Film Show, they welcome Janet Wasko of the What Is Documentary Conference. Then groundbreaking indie filmmaker Penny Allen makes a return appearance to KBOO in advance of a weekend-long retrospective of her work at the Hollywood Theater. And finally, Carolee Harrison and Heather Petricelli join us from Special Collections at the Portland State University Library. That's all coming up this morning, but first it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Pete Seeger Tribute and Sing-Along on Saturday, May 3rd, from 3 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. On what would have been Pete Seeger's 95th birthday, his life and legacy will be honored with song, remembrances, and a talk by Joe Hickerson. Again, that's Saturday, May 3rd, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.